something very, very, very important happened this week, and that was the death of Billy Graham. Very, very important. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, the people in the area knew what was happening. Maybe not everybody in the whole city, but they were probably talking about it. But the other cities farther away, they had no mass communication. They didn't know that a major shift in the spirit realm just occurred with the death of Christ. They didn't know it. They were one city over, one country over. They didn't know it. To them, it was an ordinary day. They didn't spot it. They didn't see it. They didn't. It wasn't revealed to them until the information finally got to them on what had taken place. And that's the way it is in the spirit realm. We don't often spot the things that begin one place. In 1899, a half a dozen of the greatest evangelists that that century had seen died. Amazing. D.L. Moody. I mean, these guys just turned the world upside down in their century. And they all died. None of them made it to the year 2000. When those, what we call God's generals, the people that came up through the ranks and they were the top leaders, if you're in a war situation and all the generals are taken out, they have to look to the next group below them that get promoted in their place. When all the generals are gone, then they have to take the colonels and bump them up a notch. All the generals left at the same time. And then on January 1st of the year 1900, and I don't know, was it Topeka, Kansas? A lady spoke in tongues. Simple thing. Nobody knew that a lady spoke in tongues. But it was a spark that ignited revival around the world for the next dozen years or so. Happened all over the world, Azusa Street, and it just happened throughout the world, this revival that nobody was in control of. Nobody knew that those generals were taken out of the way. But when they were, a shift in the spirit realm occurred, and the next group took their place and carried it forward. We hit World War I, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And by 1918, we had pretty much settled that war. That was 100 years ago. 100 years ago, two men were born. One was named Oral Roberts. One was named Billy Graham. A couple years ago, the Holy Spirit of God spoke to me prophetically. And I didn't really know what to do with it, but I heard him tell me Christianity is like a three-legged stool right now. You've got one leg that is the Catholic branch, Catholicism. It's a major leg of Christianity. Do not discount Catholics. Probably half the people in this room grew up Catholic. And they confess Jesus as Lord and believe he was raised from the dead. A lot of people say, well, they're not saved, are they? If they believe that Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior of the world and confess that he's Lord, it doesn't matter what other doctrine they don't understand. If they did that, they're okay. I'd put up a Catholic against a Muslim or a Buddhist any day of the week and say, they confess Jesus as Lord and absolutely believe he's God's Son and God himself and died and rose from the dead. They believe it. They don't have to have every doctrine. I don't know if I have every doctrine. Shelley and I haven't got quite the same on every doctrine yet. So that was one leg. The other leg was the evangelical world and the Protestant churches. evangelical world, those that believed that you need to be saved, but they weren't Catholic. And that group was represented by Billy Graham. And there was but Billy Graham did speak in tongues, though, but he never did it publicly. He did it privately. He was filled with the Spirit of God and spoke in tongues, but he thought that it should be just a private thing. So, you know, he believed different than me in that. But the third leg was Oral Roberts, who represented this Spirit-filled Pentecostal group, that even though the sawdust trails and tent revivals of the late 40s after World War II, he was one that went forward with it. A lot of the other men all died in their 30s, 40s, and 50s. Brother Hagin was in and out of that, but Oral Roberts represented that group. The Holy Spirit said this: when the Pope dies and Oral Robert dies and Billy Graham dies, told me, a new thing will begin, but not until then. And so the Pope died first, and then he was replaced by another Pope who then resigned and was replaced by another Pope who's thinking of resigning. And so I knew that was one down. And then a couple years ago, Oral Roberts died. And I thought, well, this is getting real close, because Billy Graham, he's been bedfast for about the last 5 years. And he's been pretty much incoherent, not really recognizing very many people. Even when they came out on his 99th birthday with that movie and The Last Thing, that was little snippets and clips from his past. He was pretty much disoriented. And I was asking God, why don't you just take him home? What's the point of him laying in that bed? What's the purpose of him just laying there year after year? He'd be better off in heaven. But it wasn't about him. His death was tied in. Now, I hadn't heard about the other prophecies at this point. I didn't know that anybody had picked up on that or said anything. So we're going to be talking about that this morning. Billy means protection. Franklin means a free man. Graham means either gray home or gravelly home, but it also means it comes from Gratham, or a tall or a great man. In other words, it can mean great man home. Interesting. Oral Roberts, oral means to speak. Roberts means praise. His name means to speak praise. I didn't know about these prophecies when God spoke to me. But just like the generals that died in 1899, these individuals needed to die and draw a line in the spirit realm where the next and final move of God, which we have a taste of it, we've had bits and pieces of revival for the last couple of years around the world, but we have not had that overall general revival. And this is the final handing off of the baton for the final lap that happened this week. Benny Hinn, 1989 prophecy. The Lord said to me in 89, when Oral Roberts and Billy Graham go home, it will be the key. It will be the sign of the beginning of the greatest revival on earth. That was Benny Hinn. I want to read an expanded version of, does anybody ever heard of Billy Brim? Okay. She has an expanded letter that she put out this week. And she went back with a little bit of history. We supported her financially for many years as one of our missionaries to Israel. That's her focus. She was the editor of Brother Hagin's books for about 10 years. July 2007, my son Chip and I were flying in a private plane between ministering and meetings in California. The word of the Lord came to me clearly, strongly, and quite unexpectedly. It began, tell Oral Roberts. Well, before I relate the word here, let me fill you in on some background so you can understand how I immediately knew what the word referred to. About 10 years before, I was having a meal in Fort Worth, Texas with Oral and Evelyn Roberts, Kenneth and Glory Copeland, and my daughter Shelley. Oral Roberts suddenly made this announcement. When I reach 87 years of age, I'm going home. Oh, Brother Roberts, I exclaimed, please don't go. We need you. And besides, I wanted you to be part of our autumn prayer meeting in Branson. No, he said, I know what happens to the human body as it ages, and I'm going home at 87. Evelyn piped in, oh, Billy, he doesn't like to travel. After he leaves, ask me, and I'll come to your meeting. Well, May 4th, 2005, Evelyn went home before Oral did. She was 88. He was 87. And I knew he began in earnest to pray to go home. So in that airplane in July of 2007, I knew what the Lord was referring to when he gave me that very clear word. This is it. This is the word the Lord gave her. Tell Oral Roberts that some men can choose the day of their departure, as is revealed through the Apostle Paul, but two men who cannot are Oral Roberts and Billy Graham. The dates of their departures are in the sovereign plan of God, for at their departures there will be a major shift in the heavenlies. I phoned Brother Roberts and asked if we could come to see him in Newport Beach, California. He invited us to come for lunch. We had an amazing day. Brother Roberts prayed for Chip's back, which was giving him much trouble. Both felt the power of God flow, and Chip was immediately healed. Later, I received a 6-page handwritten letter from Brother Roberts in which he wrote, finally, please know that I received your prophetic word in finishing my course that at my death, something extraordinary will happen by the Holy Spirit. My response is to continue obeying God and walking through the valley of the shadow death, not lying down in that valley and not giving up. I am at great peace. I fear no evil, for Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is with me. Blessed be his name with my whole heart, Oral Roberts. Fast forward to December of 2009. God called Oral Roberts home. He was 91 years old. Billy says, I sat with my Bible when I heard the news and I prayed as to what was the major shift in the heavenlies. Through the 8 years since Oral's departure, when Billy Graham was hospitalized, I heard the Lord say within me, not now. And then the Lord sovereignly chosen date came. Yesterday morning, the Lord called his humble servant, this great man of God, home. He was 99. I copied the following from the internet. On the 99th birthday back in November, world-famous evangelist Billy Graham released a video encouraging people to seek God with their whole lives. It turned out to be his final public prayer for the world. I've been praying that we might have a spiritual awakening, Graham said. I think that becomes possible only as individuals surrender their lives afresh and anew to Christ. Graham also shared advice about how people can truly live the Christian life. He said this, first, we must do everything that we can to follow the footsteps of Jesus, live a life in which we love one another, we help one another, and we live according to his words as Jesus lived. The Holy Spirit is the one who helps us live that new lifestyle. It's one of love, gentleness, and patience, and all of these things that are the fruit of the Spirit. Again, as I sit before the Lord, not really knowing what major shift occurred in the heavenlies, but I know that it did. I would hope that it has something to do with the spiritual awakening the great evangelist Billy Graham was praying for, and for the harvest that it will surely bring. Now, interesting connection. Pastor Shelley was so extremely shy as a young lady, and she wouldn't talk in front of anyone or do anything. She was the one that would rush to help in the kitchen or with the children or nursery, whatever, as long as she stayed out of any kind of limelight. Well, it was announced 1 year, many decades ago, that Billy Graham Crusade was coming to Wisconsin. And Shelley thought, I've never done anything for God. And so she went and signed up to go to the classes to become a counselor. And she was really scared because she'd never done this before. So she went to the classes, and at the end, when they called people up for salvation, she was supposed to be down front. And if somebody came to her to help them understand how to receive Jesus as their Savior. So she was really scared the whole time. And then the time came and she went down front and she thought, okay, well, I wonder if anybody's going to come to me. Six people came to her all at once. And she's like, wasn't ready for that, but she led them all to Christ. And that was her beginning of ministry outside of herself, was with Billy Graham. And an interesting thing in my own life is I worked for Oral Roberts Ministry for a couple of years. That's what I did while we were in Bible school. I worked in a hospital that he had called the City of Faith. And it was on the campus there. And Richard Roberts was the head of the hospital at the time. So it's interesting that both Shelley and I had a Billy Graham and an Oral Roberts connection. I feel so honored about that. We are in the year 2018. Billy Graham and Oral Roberts was born in 1918. I find it fascinating that as nation rose against nation and kingdom against kingdom and a world war came to an end, that these two gentlemen will be born. Because Jesus said in Matthew 24, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And then he had Noah preach for 100 years before the flood would come. And I find it fascinating that we are 100 years from the birth of Billy Graham and Oral Roberts. And so I had asked God before, why? Why don't you just take him to heaven? He's just laying there. And it wasn't about him. It was about waiting until a specific time in the world, in the spirit realm, where we would cross a line that we can't get back to. And we crossed that line this week. And just like people didn't know that Jesus was dying on the cross that afternoon, they were cities away, countries away, having an ordinary day, eating a snack, watching their sheep, doing whatever they were doing, selling their goods in the marketplace. Didn't even know they crossed a line. Didn't even know it. We crossed a line this week. Now, there was revivals that occurred from the beginning of 1900 that went around the world, and they lasted for about maybe a dozen years, maybe 11, 12 years, and then three major branches of new denominations, including the Assembly of God, split off from that, which is also the fastest growing group today, by the way. And then later on, there was a few smatterings of some revivalists that Amy Semple McPherson and the overlapping of some other evangelist, Marie Woodworth Edder. Actually, she called herself Mariah. Everybody else called her Maria. She overlapped with there. And then Brother Hagin prophesied during World War II, the Holy Spirit said, following World War II, a great revival will occur. Well, in 1948, when Israel became a nation, and the United Nations started, and all that stuff was going on, a revival started called the Sawdust Trail Revival, the tent revivals, where people actually went out into the countryside. The churches didn't want to have a revival. That's why they were out in the tents, because the church banned them. They said, no, you can't come in here. Get out of town. They set up their tents outside of town, and the people left the churches to go have revival. Isn't that funny? But nobody knew a revival was going on right away when they first started. Some people, it took them 1, 2, 3 years. Now, that revival went from about 48 till roughly the mid-50s and then started to drop off there. And then in 1968, between the Sawdust Trail and the Charismatic Renewal, full gospel, businessmen's, women's glow, it had these different groups that kind of span the gap. And we had a Bible study that occurred on a beach in California. I think they were Episcopalian, if I'm not mistaken. And these kids got excited about God, and a spark lit, and it ignited a world revival called the Charismatic Renewal. I was a sophomore in college in 1971, and I was Spirit-filled, speaking in tongues in 1971. Interesting, because I didn't know that a revival started in 68 or 69 or 70. By the time I got caught up with it, in it, around it, aware of it, it had been going on for a couple years. If anybody had told me, did you know there's a revival going on? I would have gone, what's a revival? What do you mean going on? Going on where? I didn't see it, but it was happening. We crossed a line this week, and God told me, be careful about looking back to see the revival forward. In other words, be careful about looking back to former revivals to define whether you're in revival or not. Now, every revival has an excitement about God, a calling back to the heart of God, salvations, gifts of the Spirit, miracles, outreaches, and such. Every revival has had bits and pieces of that. But the Holy Spirit said, if you look for signs from the past to define the revival of the future, you will miss it. You will not spot it. Years ago, Pastor Shelley used to smuggle Bibles into Russia. She was secretly mailed pages from the Russian phone book with names and addresses and would send one page at a time to different families in Russia. Other people were caught at the border and imprisoned. Now, electronically, the Gideons are giving you access to almost every major language in the world on your phone or internet, wherever you are. They don't have to cross a border. And the borders that they do cross, they smuggle in microchips that has the entire Bible on them that you can pop into any phone and have the full Bible. Not smuggling in by mules, not secretly stashed in compartments in the trunk of a car, but through the air, the Bible is getting out there to places that nobody could get to. This revival will not be as obvious because it's going to be everywhere. And to say, well, if they're not dancing in the Spirit or shouting, they must not have it. You have no idea how people will be turned inside out and on fire for God. I don't know how many international schools Rhema has now, but it's over 250 international schools now. And these schools are blowing places apart. I cried. I wept this week. The guy from Brazil, now he doesn't speak English. The number one language in the entire world that most Christians speak is Spanish, by the way. That's the number one spoken. If you took all the Christians on planet Earth, the majority of the Christians speak Spanish. So he was up there with an interpreter. He went down to Brazil, where they say our prisons in America are like a 5-star hotel compared to Brazil prisons. They didn't know how they could do it, but God spoke and said, start a Rhema Bible training college inside the prison. They worked at it and got favor and got permission to go into a woman's prison in Brazil. And they studied and became graduates of Rhema Bible Training Center, many of them spending their life in prison, but serving God as graduates of Rhema. So when they saw the change that had taken place in the women's prison, the prison system said, can you do one of them in the men's prison? And so the day came for the ladies to graduate. I And volunteers went in and helped them with their makeup. And they got their hair done. And they got their robes on. They led them out of the prison in chains around their ankles and handcuffs with their hair done and their makeup on and their uniforms. They got to take their handcuffs off. They still left them in the chains on their legs. And their praise and worship groups standing up on stage, praising God with their hair done and their makeup on and their robes, singing to God. And you see, all of their legs are chained together with chains. And you're going, what is going on? Has God forgotten the prisons? Not when you can have a Bible training center and graduate people inside there. And there they are. You can't really jump and shout or kick too much when your feet are chained together. But some of them had never been outside in the prison in a long, long, long time to get out of the prison doors, and they went to graduation, then they took them back in. And now they were shown pictures where they said, let's build them a room, classrooms, beautiful classrooms, beautiful. They couldn't get a truck in the prison because it wasn't built like that, so they locked all the prisoners in the back side of the prison, and they knocked a hole in the concrete wall so they could drive trucks in and bring all their supplies in, and then rebuilt the concrete wall and then let the prisoners back out again because they had no way to get in with the supplies. Modern classrooms. That doesn't look like revivals that I've known of the past. People standing up there in robes with chains around their ankles? Not at all. People receiving a little tiny microchip on the backside of nowhere, pops it into the phone. And they have the gospel message and the other teaching aids that they can have. It happened this week. And if you're looking for it, I don't know any more than Billy Brim knows on what to look for or how to look for it. All I know is it started this week. And we're in the last lap. The baton has been passed. And the generals are gone, and promotion is beginning with the next group that's going to take it and run with it. To close, I would just like to read some more prophetic words about this. I was so surprised that so many people were picking up on this, because when God told me, sometimes you think, am I goofy? Because you hear something, you go, what does that mean? The Pope, Oral Roberts, and Billy Graham dies, there's three legs of a stool, and when they're gone, the new move of God starts. You go, okay, Pastor Gary. But when other people that I know the Spirit of God say the same thing, I go, oh, I know where that came from. Oh, this came from England. In 2007, the ministry, I don't know her, she's Wanda Forbes, and she said, God said to watch his generals. When Oral and Billy went home, it would be a sign of a new facet of God's glory and power. Their mantles, I saw a large shield burst into small ones. God said one would no longer carry the mantle, but God's faithful. God began to pour out small shields on the earth. And that was in 2007. 2010, Jeff Kingshott from Open Heavens Ministry, I think he's British or United Kingdom, said the graduation of Billy Graham will be a sign of a great release of fire worldwide. That was in 2010. Remember Kim Clement? Anybody ever heard of him? In 2006, this is one that, it says, God says it shall come to pass, and you know it already, that my great generals who have stood the test of time shall decree before they die, it is time for me, it is well with my soul. Billy Graham, I am calling you to be with me, that the earth may see the Lord in a greater way, for your death will not bring about tears, but your death will bring about the unveiling of the Lord high and lifted up. For your death shall not bring the closing of the eyes of a generation, but your death shall bring the raising up of great evangelists of this time, says the Lord of hosts. Billy Graham, it is a time, for you have said it yourself. For this day God says, as it comes to pass that you come to me, as it comes to pass that soon Oral Roberts comes to me, that I will take these and I will anoint the earth with a gracious, gracious double portion, and they, the people, shall see the Lord, and he will be high and lifted up. For I announced in Oregon a few months ago that there will be four great anointings that shall be released. Talks about the anointing of Joseph, Enoch, Daniel, and the same kind of anointing like Elijah had. And he said, tonight I speak of Isaiah, says the Spirit of the Lord, for you will stand in the same place. For a veil has been rent, and you can see me, that I am high and lifted up, says the Lord of hosts. Now I say those words from my Father, whom shall I send? Who shall go for us? And I hear the people say, here I am, Lord, or here my Lord, send me. Send me, here am I, send me. And one other person from Midnight Vision Ministry from 2016, and I'll close with this one. I think her name is Veronica West. Then again I heard his voice. My great and late reformers are now being gathered together in this holy and sacred place, for as it is in heaven, so shall it be on earth. Then I looked up, and I saw, this is a vision she's having, by the way. She said, I saw 10 thrones sitting high on a marble platform. As I drew a little closer, suddenly I saw 9 bright and radiant lights appear over the thrones. As I watched closely, all 9 of the bright lights moved upon the thrones, all except one, which remained empty. Now, as I looked upon the empty throne, it was quickened to me in the spirit the name Billy Graham. Then my eyes were drawn back again to the 9 bright and radiant lights, and by just looking at them, I knew and recognized all who were now sitting on those thrones. I saw in the spirit the late and great John Paul Jackson. I saw the late and great Bob Jones. I saw the late and great Miles Monroe. I saw the late and great Kim Clement. I saw the late and great Peter Wagner. I saw the late and great Dave Wilkerson. I saw the late and great Oral Roberts. I saw the late and great Catherine Kuhlman, and I saw the great, late and great John Wesley. Now again, I knew by divine revelation that this holy and royal council of God's great and late apostles, prophets, and evangelists were being gathered together in this most sacred place to bear witness to his mighty governing hand moving upon the nations of the earth. The atmosphere was exhilarating and pregnant with great expectation. I stood trembling, but silently watching, listening, and waiting. And then again I heard these words, for the government of the kingdom of heaven is now being established upon the earth. She got that 2 years ago, where she had this image of these 10 throne-like chairs on a marble platform with one of them empty, and they were waiting for Billy Graham. And that happened this week. Oh, I praised God when Billy died. I was so, because I knew that his family didn't want him here anymore. His family wanted him in heaven. They were at his bedside. But why did he tarry and delay for so long? Because his death would draw a line in the spirit realm, that once we cross it, there's no going back. This revival is going to go on until Jesus returns at the rapture. Now, there is one thing that is being broadcast out there on the internet and other places that I believe that is in error. A bunch of fundamental churches instead said, because Billy Graham died, the rapture's going to happen any day now, right now in 2018, because as soon as he's gone. Because they don't acknowledge, that group does not acknowledge a final worldwide revival that the Bible speaks about after the sixth seal that no man can number, that fills heaven. And when they're saying that, oh, it's going to be, they're ready to go right now. It's like, oh, boy, any second, any day, we're just out of here because Billy Graham's gone. And the answer is no. This revival could go many years. Some of the greatest revivals we'd have went 11 years. This, who knows how long this one is going to go? 3.5, 7, 11, 15, 18? I don't know. All I know is this. As it begins, it will not be noticed by most, except in the spirit realm, who knows it has started. And eventually, they will notice and it will catch up as each year adds to what was before, until just like I did, 3 years into a great revival, discovered that there was a revival going on. That was also the next year, Pastor Shelley became born again, became part of that revival as well. In Walworth County, we had Bible studies going in every single high school in the entire county. Every one of them. The youth led the way. And as a child leads them, so shall this revival be. Do not discount the children. The Holy Spirit inside of a child is the full Holy Spirit. Not a small Holy Spirit, not a miniature Holy Spirit, not a childlike Holy Spirit, but the full power and presence of God, the Holy Spirit, resides in them and the teenagers and the young adults all the way through. And we've stepped over the line. I don't know what it's going to look like. All I know is I'll know it when I see it. Just like these other people who have prophesied, they don't know what it's going to look like either. We'll know it when we see it. So we've been waiting for this week for the last couple of years ourselves. Not that we didn't push ahead and seek God and get to know God and push for it all, but we knew when this line crossed, there'd be a release of the power of God, of the Spirit of God, that would shoot everywhere, not just in little pockets anymore, but would spread throughout the whole earth, that all the way to the return of Christ at the rapture, along with persecutions and an increase against the Christians around the world while this is happening. At the same time. Sound like fun? Wow. So God selected each person that's alive today to be alive during this time for this final lap. This is the baton generation that is running the final lap. And we're part of it. Whether your hair is gray, whether you have any hair, or whether you're a little kid, we're all running with the same baton, and it's been passed to us. We lived into this lap, and we're going to take it as far as we can take it. Praise God. Praise God. So be looking. Be looking with your spirit eyes. Be sensitive to what you see and know, and you will spot it. You will see it. You'll receive it. You'll be part of it. You already are. Praise God. Thank you, Father, for the life of Billy Graham. Thank you for the life of Oral Roberts. Thank you, Lord, for every leg of that stool that shall have revival. We call for revival in the Catholic Church. We call for revival in the Evangelical Church and the Spirit-filled churches working together for one cause. Praise your holy name. We release our words and our faith before you. And thank you for this opportunity in the most humbleness that we receive your gifts and callings to take this forth to your glory forever. In Jesus' name, amen.